Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing how racism is rooted in pride. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for today. I thank you for all of the grace and mercy that you've extended to each and every one of your children today, God. Father, I thank you for you having given us the desire to draw others to you, God. Father, I thank you for you giving us the capacity to forgive others through the power of the Holy Spirit that you place within us, God. Father, we know that that power allows us to forgive those things that we would imagine as being unforgivable, because your Holy Spirit and the power thereof is unlimited. Father, I thank you for the privilege that you've given us to not be able to lean on excuses for why we can't obey you and submit to you and humble ourselves before you, God, so that you can exalt us in due time, God. Father, I thank you for using us as examples in the earth of how you would have things to be done. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
For bread.
Father, just help me do that.
It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every old will be destroyed. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving. It's breaking. You right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cry myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hand. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say they take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I'll lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Worship is shifting.
Welcome back to the Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. And tonight we're going to be discussing how racism is rooted in pride. And this is important for us to remember because we know that pride is earthly, sensual, and devilish. And we know that if racism is rooted in pride, then racism is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So is tempted, as we all may be, to embrace ideals that are rooted in racism, prejudice, and bigotry, we have to rebuke those in the name of Jesus Christ and turn away from those ungodly ways of thinking. We have to renew our mind to the Word of God and then submit to the authority of God so that we can please God, serve God, trust God, and operate in absolute faith. I want to share with you tonight why God tells us that the first and great commandment is to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength by making His Son, Jesus Christ, our Master. See, the first thing God tells us to do is not bow down to Him, because that's automatic. He's the creator of the universe. Everything bows down to Him. He says, bow down to my Son, and you will prove your love for me. That is powerful. And if you're racist, it's even more powerful, because now you have to bow down to the Son of God, who is a Jewish man. And if you're anti-Semitic, you have a real problem. As a matter of fact, you're in more trouble than you ever want to be in. And that's why you want to be delivered. You want to be healed. You want to be restored. You want to be able to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the only thing that'll make you able to do that is to get past your racism, past your bigotry, past your prejudice. So whatever any person has done to you, you have to get to the point where you can forgive and you can move on, because the price that you will pay is not worth it. It is not worth it. I want to bring your attention back to what Jesus Christ directed us to do in Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, we know this as the Lord's Prayer, right? He says, don't be like the hypocrites, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. And then He tells us to pray in this way. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then it says in verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And see, this is what is the engine for racism, is pride and unforgiveness, which is the perfect combination to fuel the furnace of hate in the world. And if we are accounting for things that occurred to us and our relatives and our ancestors and our friends and our fellow citizens, and we don't let it go, it perpetuates death. And does not allow you to walk into the new, because you're always looking backward. You're always looking through life through your rearview mirror instead of looking straight ahead. And what you'll find is wherever you're looking, that's where the car is going to go. Now, the car can't go in reverse, but you certainly are not going to be able to pay attention to the road if you spend all of your time looking in the rearview mirror. And furthermore, what God is saying to us is, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, if you don't forgive people for what they've done to you and yours, your Heavenly Father will, if you forgive them, then He's going to forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father is not going to forgive you of your trespasses. And we know that God paid an incredible price to be able to overlook our sin, to be able to forgive us of all of our transgressions and iniquity and all that, right? That's what he sent us heavenly. Then he sent his only begotten Son to die for you and I to accomplish, so that his blood could cover all of our sin. And yet he says, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. And this is why that's so important. It is impossible for you to love God by making him one, by making his Son Jesus Christ your master, right? It is impossible for you to love yourself, and it is impossible for you to love your neighbor. You can't forgive if you can't get past the past. See, it's an interesting thing about the past. We can't change it. Whatever happened in the past is what it is. Now, I'm not saying we should be ignorant of what happened in the past. I'm not saying that God is not a God of justice. I do believe that reparations are in order. I do believe that if you are unjust, that justice should occur. And I know that God is a God of justice. But you know who is in charge of that? God. This that I'm sharing with you tonight is making it plain that racism is rooted in pride. And in the Bible, it says, where there's strife, there is every evil and wicked work. That's important to understand, because what you're going to find, especially during this election season, is you're going to hear people who mean well, behind pulpits and in all kinds of public places and public spaces, speaking about things and trying to attach the weight of God to it. And they're going to be so far out of line that if you're not careful, you can fall into the same trap as they're in. I wanna tell you a story. It goes back to when I was in the sixth grade. I was just a kid, barely a teenager, and my friend asked me to, he asked me if I wanted to walk home with him, and I walked home with him, and he was white, I'm African American, and he asked me to take a shortcut through the mall on the way home, and so I took a shortcut through the mall, and I, you know, didn't know why we were taking the shortcut through the mall, because it was a nice day, et cetera. And we're walking through the mall, and all of a sudden he disappears. And I know I've got to get home by a certain time, so I'm continuing to move through the mall in order to get outside and get home. And as soon as I emerge from the mall, he catches up to me with all of this stuff in his hand. He's got diaries and all kinds of stuff that he's pilfered from the store. And I really didn't understand what just happened. But what he knew at the tender age of, how old are we at sixth grade, however old a sixth grader is, right? He knew at that time that the racists in the mall would be following me, because I'm black. And that would give him free rein to just put whatever he wanted in his coat because he was white. So while all of the people working in the store were following me, walking through their store, out of their store, without a thought of taking anything from their store, he was robbing them blind. And when we got around the corner, he was like, hey, do you want some of this? Do you want this? Do you want this? And first, I was trying to figure out what was going on. And then after I put it all together, I was amazed. I was amazed, one, that this was really happening. And then I thought about it. And it's interesting because people in their pride, they make stupid decisions. And the stupidity of the situation is that you had paid employees, loss prevention professionals, who were using all of their quote-unquote skill to follow a school-age kid through a store because he was black. And this kid had no thought whatsoever of taking anything that was theirs because I was taught, if it's not mine, you leave it alone. I remember when I was really young, being in the store and finding a piece of candy on the ground and in the grocery store, and I picked it up and I got spanked because you don't find things in the store just because they're on the floor. If it's not yours, it's not yours. And that's when I learned that stealing isn't allowed, right? Well, my friend apparently didn't learn that lesson. And so what I did learn, though, is that racism can work against you. Racism can blind you to what's actually going on to such an extent that you're willing to take a loss. You're willing to be robbed by people who look like you because they look like you, just as long as somebody else doesn't steal anything from you. You're willing to mistreat other people based on your preconceived notion of who you think they are, because you just have to be right. You know you're right. And meanwhile, you're wondering who stole your stuff. You're wondering who abused you, who's taking advantage of you, who's cheating you every day. And you're not giving any thought to the fact that it's the guy sitting right on side of you in every place that you go. And because he looks like you, or she looks like you, or she sounds like you, or she's from the same place as you're from, or he's from the same place as you're from. And these things are the result of pride. God says pride is earthly, sensual, and devilish. God says in his word that where there is strife, there is every evil and wicked work. God says it's an abomination to him, those who cause division among the brethren. And so what I want to point out is that we are all one body of Christ. We are all to be one. And I want to go to a passage of scripture that I know is going to bless you tonight. But then I want to go to a passage of scripture that's going to point out how real what I'm saying is. I want to go first to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. What it says is, cast your cares on him. And actually, you know what? I'm going to start by reading the first verse. It says, young men, when you're strong, when you're powerful, when your strength is unlimited, this is addressing you, young men, in the same way, submit yourselves to your elders. Humble yourselves to your elders. And then it says, and all of you, so not just the young men, now all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. See, if we are, as a body of Christ, pleasing God, and we are not racist, that means we reject the pride of our ethnicity, we reject the pride of our nationality, we reject the pride of our language, we reject the pride of our homeland, all of that stuff. Clothe yourself with humility toward one another and understand that at one time, all people groups sat in the seat of the slave. At one time, all people groups sat in the seat of the ruler. And what we have in common is that all of us are blessed through the covenant covenant, God's covenant, with Abraham, because he said all families of the earth will be blessed through Abraham, and all families of the earth are blessed through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through Abraham, through the bloodline and lineage of Abraham. And that's powerful for you to understand. It's powerful and important for you to comprehend that what Jesus Christ fulfilled was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. On the day of Pentecost, the 120 who received the Holy Spirit were all Jewish. But then later on, in the household of Cornelius, the first Gentile family household to receive the Holy Spirit was at that time. And it became clear that the promise was not just to the Jews, but to the Jews and the Gentiles, and that the Jews and the Gentiles would be made one. So look at what it says here. It says, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, knowing that we're all one body, Jews and Gentiles alike, because God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. That's why we're to clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. That's why the young men, as strong as they are, they're to submit to their elders. Because God opposes the proud. No matter how capable you are, no matter how well built you are, God opposes the proud. Look at what it says. But God gives grace to the humble. See, God gives you the ability, if you're humble, he gives you that unmerited favor, and he gives you that enabling power. That's what grace is, if you're humble. So, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. See, that's how you show that you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, is by first making his son, Jesus Christ, your master. And then humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God. God says, I know you love me because you trust me, because you obey me, because you bow down to my son. And then it says, so that, and the reason he's telling you to do these things, you think it's all about just him. But watch, because God gets glory out of you getting glory. When you trust and obey. He says, so that in due time, God may exalt you. And he says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. So God is telling you, trust me. Cast your cares on me. I care for you. Humble yourself under my mighty hand so that I may exalt you in due time. And see, that's where you experience the patience of God, or you experience, rather, God's perfect timing and the benefit of you producing the fruit of the Spirit of patience in your life. See, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. None of these qualities describe the proud. None of these qualities describe the racist. None of these qualities describe the bigot. None of these qualities describe those who are prejudiced. So we have to get to the point where we love God by humbling ourselves and making his son, Jesus Christ, our master. We have to get to the point where we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, and we expect him to exalt us in due time. So we show our trust toward God and our obedience. And as we are humble, God gives us grace. He gives us the ability to do. He gives us the favor. And then, while he's giving us that, he's in opposition to the proud, because God opposes the proud. See, you strutting around like a peacock isn't doing it. It's not going to achieve the desired end. What you need to do is clothe yourself with humility toward your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's where God gets glory. And then, no matter how young you are, no matter how strong you are, you submit to your elders as they are showing you the way, as they are illustrating their knowledge of the scripture in their life. Now, I want to point out the opposite of this. And I want to show how racism is rooted in pride, but I want to go to an extreme. I want to go to Job chapter 41, verses 33 to 34. And in Job chapter 41, verses 33 to 34, it explains how God's power is shown in Leviathan. Leviathan is the equivalent of a dragon or a serpent. It is a direct reference to the devil because of his scales and how he's made in such an awesome way, right? It says in Job 41, 33 to 34, nothing on earth is his equal. Speaking of the devil, a creature devoid of fear, no fear. He looks down on all the haughty he looks down on, and he is king over all the proud. So the devil is your king if you refuse to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and make Jesus Christ your master. If you are living in racism, in prejudice, in bigotry, then rest assured, your king is the devil. And all you need to do is repent. Turn away from racism. Turn away from bigotry. Turn away from prejudice. Because I understand the things that we experience in life cause us to respond and react a certain way. But God says, if we fail to forgive, then we will not be forgiven. And if you believe that, if that's important to you, and it is, because see, not only can't you love God if you don't make his son Jesus Christ your master, but you can't love yourself if you hold on to unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is never wanted. Unforgiveness is always you carrying around a weight in hopes of punishing someone for something they can never undo. And I don't care how grievous it is, the benefit is to you, because the fact is that there is nothing that any individual, any group has done to you that is going to be equal to what we individually have done against God. If God took all of our sins and transgressions and iniquities and piled them up, there is no individual or group who is going to equal our offense against God. And God says, if you're going to receive all of my forgiveness, I'm going to require you then that same forgiveness to others. It reminds me of the parable of the man who was forgiven this huge debt, millions of dollars, and his master forgave him of that huge debt. And then he went and he had one of his fellow servants placed in jail over a few hundred dollars. Something like that. And you compare millions to a few hundred dollars. The fact is, what he was saying about his master that forgave him of the millions is that his master was a fool, but he's not a fool, because he's going to make his fellow servant pay for having offended him and stolen the hundreds of dollars, right? That's what we're doing when we fail to forgive. we are saying that offending us is more important than offending God. And if God said, I've forgiven all your sin, then he requires us to forgive others of all their sin. That's real. Real talk. And the reason racism is something that we don't see going away is because in the worldly context, the idea of vendettas and revenge and all of these things are a part of how the world works. But God says, vengeance is mine. Meaning that we're not to take things into our own hands. God tells us as Christians, we are not to sue one another. We're not to be taking one another into court. But you tell your average Christian that and they don't believe that. Because pride is still operating in your life. And you got to get to the point where you're spiritually mature enough to accept offense. If someone slaps you in one cheek, you got to become strong enough to turn the other cheek. If somebody takes your coat, you got to be willing to take your pants off and give them those too, right? Somebody asks you to go 1 mile with them for free, you got to go 2 miles with them, right? God wants us to grow up and understand that we are not compensated by these people with their change. I don't care how many millions of dollars of change they have. You know how much it takes for all of the money in the world to become useless? Ask the Confederate Army, the future or the former Confederate Army, Confederate States of America, the Southern states, after they lost the Civil War, how much their money was worth after that war. Can't buy anything with that money these days, right? That's what money is. It's an illusion. And yet, one of the things that seems to drive racism is this idea, this fear, that there are limited resources and that in order to steward the resources or make sure we're going to have enough, we got to make sure that other people aren't taking our share. It's sad. It's small living. It is not trusting in God. It is not what God is represented by. And for us, we have to get to the point where we accept our cross of loving all men, of helping God create a heavenly kingdom of many nations. And when I say men, I mean men and women. Men and women and children. And the only way to do that is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength by making his son, Jesus Christ, our master, by loving ourselves, no matter what anybody else says about you, no matter what images they put on the TV over and over and over and over and over saying you're less than, not good enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That should only fuel you to show them how powerful the Holy Spirit within you is, in spite of their propaganda, in spite of their social campaign of injustice, right? We are to love our neighbors, all ethnicities, all races, because we're all blessed through the covenant of Abraham. All families of the world are blessed through the covenant of God with Abraham, through Jesus Christ, who comes from the bloodline of Abraham, who comes from the bloodline of Shem. And we have to accept that. We have to allow ourselves to not become subject to the devil, who is king over all the proud, who looks down on all the haughty. And one of the things I want to point out is If you remember what happened to the devil after he deceived Eve and caused Adam to fall into sin by disobeying God, after all of that transpired, two things happened. The devil was no longer able to eat whatever he was eating before. He had to eat dust for the rest of his days. And he had to dwell on his belly for the rest of his days. So he could not be upright. And this is a fascinating thing, because those who are his subjects, they have to be so low in order for him to look down on them. And you see how it says that the devil is before the throne of God, accusing the brethren daily. But there is a day when he's going to be cast out of heaven. He's no longer going to be accusing you and I of being racist, and bigots, and prejudiced, because we're not going to be. But we want to practice that now. We want to practice what it looks like being in a heavenly kingdom of many nations, because that's what God is creating. He's doing that. That's what it's going to be. And if you're not preparing yourself for that now, you're not ready. And we are going to get past anti-Semitism in the body of Christ. We are going to get past racism in the body of Christ. We're going to get past social injustice in the body of Christ. We're going to get past making excuses for things that are simply unacceptable, and learn how to stand on the principles of God's word to such an extent that we're going to forgive openly so that we can be forgiven openly. And God's going to bless us. God is going to use us as the example. And see, we have to understand that right now, in the world, they even have a principle that if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. And sometimes, oftentimes, you'll see how racism is pushed aside in order to make a profit, in order to make a dollar, because money is their God, right? So if we say God is our God, how easy should it be for us to forgive and embrace our brothers and sisters who are of various races? That should be automatic. And I know that our flesh oftentimes challenges our desire to please God. I remember the Apostle Paul, how his heart was toward Israel, and yet he still obeyed God, because he was also assigned to the Gentiles. He was assigned to go to kings of the world and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, just as we are. That is our assignment. That is our duty. That is our responsibility to God. And if we are loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, then we are making his son, Jesus Christ, who was a Jewish man, our master. And if we are loving ourselves, we are not allowing others to poison us with ideas of not being worthy, of not being good enough, of not deserving God's best. See, the devil told you a lie and you believed it, because magazines rule, the internet rules, TV rules, movies rule, fashion rules, if you're in the world. But in the body of Christ, we are humble so that God can do a perfect work and show something in the earth through us that has never existed before. See, there's only one you. And God has invested a lot in you to get you to this point. And the glory that you're going to get, God, is immeasurable. The things you're going to do can only be imagined, because only you can do them. And they will only be manifest after you do them. So I want to encourage you, love yourself. Understand how special you are. Understand that if you were not born in a certain place, if you were not born a certain way, if God did not give you special talents and gifts and abilities and qualities, that God's assignment for you could not be fulfilled. You have to embrace everything that makes you you, because when you embrace your differences, you are going to be able to relate better to people who are different. You are going to be able to see those special qualities in others that allow them to perform tasks in the body of Christ that you could never perform. You're going to see outreach things occur that you just couldn't do. All of us have a purpose. And so as we love ourselves and embrace our purpose, it's going to allow us to love our neighbor, to love others, and embrace and value their purpose and support them in what they do. And see, it's the love of God that sets Christianity apart from everything else. And it's interesting, because when you see how the devil was able to hijack Christianity and turn it into a torture fest, turn it into this conquest of the globe that resulted in mass genocide and death and sickness and disease and all kinds of immorality and rape and pillaging of people. You know, God's not behind that. You know that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And yet they did that in the name of God, right? Well, you know what? Whatever they did, we have to forgive and move past and move on, so that we can embrace all that God has forgiven us of. See, when people get into this place where they don't feel worthy, what they're really doing is they're acknowledging their refusal to forgive those who have transgressed against them, because they've made themselves an idol. It's the essence of pride. It's the essence of racism. You have idolized yourself to such an extent that you worship that which is most like you, and then therefore turn on yourself and inflict harm upon yourself, because you know your limits. You know you're frail, you're fragile. You know that you are not enough. And yet you must deceive yourself. You must drive yourself. You must lie to yourself just to propel yourself into the abyss. God says, I want you to come up out of that. I want you to clothe yourself with humility toward one another. Love your brothers and sisters in Christ of all races, nationalities, creeds, languages, so that you're not stuck being less than what God called you to be. Don't believe the lie. Eve believed the lie, and you see where it landed all of mankind after Adam sinned. The lie is the biggest tool and the only thing the devil has ever created. He is the author thereof. He is the father of lies. That's what the Bible says. The devil is the father of lies. And if you allow the devil to tell you that you are more than somebody else because you're different from them, you're deceiving yourself, because all families of the earth have been blessed through Abraham. That's the word of God. And we've been blessed because through Abraham, through the Semitic line, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, a Jew, was born and lived, and he was crucified. He was laid in a tomb for 3 days and three nights, and God raised his Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, seated him at his own right hand, a Jewish man, and gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, so that he could then send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to dwell within you and I. So we all came up together. We all were promoted together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to encourage you to clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, so that in due time, God may exalt you at the appointed time. Let your expectation be for God to exalt you and not for you to parade around creating this illusion of success. Just be who God created you to be. Be real. Take the pressure off, so that you can cast your cares on him, because God cares for you. God doesn't want you to kill yourself trying to impress a bunch of people who are barely going to notice you're gone after you're gone. God wants you to receive all of his rewards and blessings for you in eternity, and know that part of those blessings and rewards are going to be those souls you win for the kingdom that are going to be around you like your glory in eternity. That is what God wants for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth today, God. I thank you for your goodness and your graciousness toward each and every one of us, God. Father, I thank you for how you cause us to succeed. I thank you for how you cause us to prevail. I thank you for how you cause us to demonstrate your goodness and your graciousness and your power in the earth through us. Father, I thank you for you using us mightily this week to love someone and show them our love. Show them what it means to forgive and be forgiven and to walk in the fullness of the freedom and liberty that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network, Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.
Love me and care for me.
Special thanks goes out to our listeners in Canada, the United States of America, Mexico, Peru, Brazil, Ireland, England, France, New Zealand, Nigeria, South Africa, Indonesia, the Philippines, Japan, China, India, Australia, Bulgaria, Greece, and the United Republic of Tanzania. Thank you for joining with us this evening.